podcast.
The head on the feet, the feet on the ground. Fight Club, remember?
Fight Club?
It's the Pixies. Where is my mind?
I don't associate that song with Fight Club. But I guess I'm just not an Edward Norton head.
I'm such a Norton head.
Ed head.
Such an Ed head. Marvel Cinematic Universe really went downhill after he left.
In what role?
He was the Incredible Hulk before Mark Ruffalo took over.
Considering I have zero memory of him as the Hulk and a much stronger one of Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
I would say Mark Ruffalo's doing a better job.
Oh, yeah. Well, Iron Man came out, and the second one was Edward Norton's Incredible Hulk. But everyone mixes it up with Ang Lee's Hulk that had just come out. And then the Marvel. Anyway.
Anyway, you're listening to Marvel Heads, the Marvel podcast.
I guess we started. This was a sound check.
That turned into really dumb.
This is the dumbest intro to Hi, this is We Know's Parenting. I'm Peter McKernan.
There's not enough people rambling about Marvel movies out there.
I got you. I finally got
sneak
the MCU
them in here.
Into this pod. Secretly. Big Marvel fan. It's not a very controversial thing to say.
The most shameful secret thing about you, your love of Marvel.
Is how many times I've...
If there's one thing about men in Marvel, it's that I wish they weren't so ashamed of it. Like, talk about it. Tell us more about it.
This is like...
Tell us when you're headed to the next movie and what you think of it afterwards and whether it lived up to your expectations, which are always high.
I went in with my expectations high. Today, we're just going to be a comic book movie review podcast. What do you think of that? What do you think of Joker, Beth?
Didn't see it.
Oh, that's right.
Don't care.
What did you think of any other one? Well, you didn't see it. Well, yeah. your one love of superhero movies is very Chris Pratt based.
Chris Pratt, no. My one love of superhero movies?
Did you love the Guardians movies?
I like them okay. You associate them with me much more strongly than is normal because I went into labor after seeing the first one.
You love them. You love them so much that your body was like, let's have a baby. Anyway, welcome to our...
My body was like, I can't wait to bring a child into a world where Chris Pratt talks to a tree.
I am. We are Groot. This is a parenting podcast, and that was a segue into a parenting-related thing just a little bit. So Beth, we can review. I need to tell you something that happened. So
okay.
Bryn, we signed Bryn up for an after-school class. He does after-school every day, but we signed up for a class on Mondays, and it's his like Nature Explorers Club. And so he has only done it once, I think, and then there was a holiday. So today he was supposed to do a second one. I took him out of the car and I found a plastic glove in his bag, like a surgeon's glove. And I was like, Bryn, where did this come from? He goes, oh, from my cooking class. I was like, what?
Oh my God, wait.
And apparently when they were like, all right, cooking class this way, he just went to the cooking class. And they were like, they said I could stay. Because his class had clearly left and gone to the woods.
Oh my God.
And so he just got to do the cooking class.
That's so funny.
He's like, I loved it. And he's like, I want to do it again. And I was like, well, we can do that next time, but we didn't pay for it. But he might just crash the rest of it.
I mean, good for him. Whenever I get too worried about my parenting with him and where he's going, I have to remember that he's just gonna find a way, like where he wants to go. He's just There he goes. He's got very big Leo energy.
He won't not do something. You have to get to the point where you're threatening him with the removal of television privileges.
Yeah.
He wanted to carve the pumpkin, and it was 10 minutes before bedtime. So I'm like, we can't do it. And he goes, well, I'm going to draw on the pumpkin. I go, no, we'll do it tomorrow night. We'll do it all together. He goes, okay, but I'm going to draw on the pumpkin. I'm like, and I like didn't have the energy to get stern. And I was like, Bryn, no. And he can hear it. If I go, Bryn, no, he's like, Daddy doesn't mean it.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn you for making me no. And then we finally compromised. I was like, get three pieces of paper, draw three designs, and we'll talk about it. So he did. Then we FaceTimed your parents, and he showed them. And he goes, please pick the best one. And then your mom picked the one that he didn't want her to pick. So he goes, not that one. Pick one of these two. And then she picked the vampire and goes, great. And then Maven and I kept talking to them as Bryn went to the pumpkin to start drawing it onto the pumpkin. And I was so mad because I said no like 10 times.
You are funny about this kind of thing because so we got this Trader Joe's Halloween gingerbread house that we're decorating.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. And he was looking at the picture and wanted to replicate the way it was decorated in the picture. And you were like, no, this is our gingerbread house. We decorate it how we want to. We don't have to do the picture. And you start like forcing him to switch gears and you start putting things on the gingerbread house. And then as soon as he starts like doing his own thing and trying to like put the ghost on, you were like, no, we can't put that there. Like you switched gears and you just wanted to micromanage.
He was trying to put the ghost on the top of the house where it would fall down.
Well, it was on there and it didn't fall down.
Well, no, he wanted to balance the tippy top, like standing on the point of the house. So I think we had a nice compromise.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong that when I get into a project with them, I enjoy myself.
You're just like, but I understand, like, I mean, I am this way with aesthetic things. I want things to look nice, so it does drive me a little crazy. But if I bought a pumpkin for the kids to carve, there's also part of me that's like, well, this is going to be whatever they want it to be. Like, it's not.
Right. Well, I just didn't want him to, like, by himself scribble all over the pumpkin. I wanted to include Maven, and I want us all to sit down and, like, do the pumpkin together.
Well, I guess in my mind, I was already thinking, like, we probably need to buy another pumpkin. I just lugged that one home because it was, like, in front of me at the supermarket, and I was like, we need a pumpkin.
That's fair. Well, we're going to do a big thing tomorrow night. I promise.
A big thing.
We're going to make a big old, it's going to be a big old pumpkin night.
Nice.
Peter Pumpkin Carver. I have never made a Peter Pumpkin Eater joke about myself in 37 years until tonight.
Never?
I would really hate it.
You've been sitting on a gold mine of jokes.
They called me Petrie the Portable Potty in fourth grade.
So should we talk about our weekend, which was very spooky?
Oh my gosh, let's talk about our spooky weekend. Go for it.
We had the Halloweeniest weekend ever.
It was the weeniest.
It's the weeniest. We went to the elementary school scare fair, which for Bryn, and did not prepare optimally in terms of the amount of cash we would need on hand.
Okay, if you're throwing a fundraiser for the whole school in the form of a fun scare fair,
somebody should get the Square app on their iPhone and get some Venmo payments or whatever so that parents
rent a GD cash machine.
We want to fundraise, but we're tired and we don't have more than $60 in our wallet. Anyway, we survived. We had
just enough for them to get tickets and a wristband, and then literally $1 left for snacks and lunch.
Yeah, and we had it fed our kids lunch.
The only way I could feed Bryn.
We're dumb.
I could feed Bryn was to have him do the eat a donut from a string game.
Yeah, and I spotted you doing that, and then as the mastermind that I am, I was like, this is my chance to bring Maven over to the cupcake decorating table. We'll get them both loaded up on sugar, so they don't see what each other is doing.
I specifically took Bryn to the donut thing when I was like, Maven's not going to see this.
Well, there was limited things for her to do for her age, and one of them was decorate a cupcake, so...
Yeah, most of the activities were throw a ball into a hole, which neither of them are capable of.
Yeah.
Maven's probably better.
More coordinated. They had a little miniature golf thing set up, and Maven was like killing it.
Oh, Maven. I mean,
She has better hand-eye.
Hole in one.
She has better hand-eye coordination.
Yes.
Like she does. Like she was writing tonight when I walked in, and when I walked in the door and Bryn said, "What's your name?" And then proceeded to try to like take my order or something on a piece of paper. Maven was also trying to write stuff down, and she was like, "How do you spell your name?" And then I would be like, "B E," and then she would be like, "So what's an E look like again?" And I'd have to like explain it to her verbally, and she would figure it out.
She knows them. She has caught up pretty quick on her letters in the last like 2 months.
But that's what I was saying a couple weeks ago about how she's just has different like learning focuses than Bryn, where she's like a tactile learner. Like if she's trying to spell my name, she's going to figure it out. Whereas Bryn, he was just happy to perform the alphabet for you. Yeah. You know,
it's totally true. Maven, I always try to follow their excitement and their focus if I'm doing a good job. And Bryn, if he locks into a thing, you can explain a lot to him and he will go with you. But it's Maven, you have to follow where her interest is. Because she's not going to like, you know, I think she has to pick up a thing and she has to.
Anyway, so with Scarefair, also had a little haunted house, which I didn't go through, but you witnessed. So we're walking up and this lady is like, "Do you guys want the scary version or the not so scary version?" And she's talking to all these little kids who are just like standing there scared. And they're like, and she's like, "Okay, not scary." And like, she keeps being like, "Not scary is the, we leave the lights on." And like, she's just like directing all these kids. So the big kids are lining up on one side and little kids on the other side for the not scary version. And then they were telling us, they were like, "You can meet them on the other side. Just go around over there." And
I'm like, "My daughter's 3.
Yeah, we're like, "Are we okay just sending them in there? We have no idea what's happening."
We went out and I immediately was like, "I'm going back in there."
So your protective instinct kicked in and you were like, "I have to see this through." So you walked through with them and it was
not scary in the way a haunted house is scary, but socially
scary in the way that the not scary 3-year-old is like, "What is happening?"
Very scary. We go into the corner of a gymnasium covered in tarps. And the lights are fully on, and there standing in a row are 20 third graders dressed in horrific makeup. 2 are lying on the ground. The first thing you see is a kid lying on the ground with a scream mask on, just like looking up at you and like reaching. He's on his stomach. And the lights are fully on. Nobody's hidden. The music is not very loud. And like, there's an adult behind them just watching everyone. And Maven's walking through it going, "This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen." It's just 20 strangers staring
her down.
It's like, and they're like half-heartedly like being scary, but they can tell this is awkward with the lights on. And these are very small children. So we got through there real quick. I was like, "Was that scary?" And Maven's like, "Yes."
Yeah, so that was a scare fair. And then we went to the Halloween costume parade our downtown, which...
This was a step up.
We found out about like an hour before it was happening. Another parent friend was like,
Bryn's
"Are you guys going to this?"
Parents.
What's that?
Bryn's best friend's parents are the ones that inform us about everything.
The ones that keep us socially connected to the community. They were like, "Are you going to this?" And we were like, "What are you talking about?" And then... We found out, well, we just kind of went without really even trying to dig into what it was, but there was mention of costumes. And so I was like, "Yeah, our kids love costumes. Let's throw costumes on them." And we went, and it was a costume parade for children.
Have you ever
turns out
been to a parade where the only people watching the parade are the people in the parade?
It was fun though. It was like our it so was great. our friend who invited us, this dad, is like much more personable than us and a nicer person, and he's really social. And he was talking to everyone in a way where it was, I was like, do you know these people? Like,
no,
and
he literally just go like, hey, Chewbacca, let's go say hi.
Yeah, he was like, I gotta go talk to this lion. And like, he was just like keeping us engaged with the whole crowd. And there really was a lot of cute kids. So it was kind of nice to just like mingle. Yeah,
it's just so shocking to hang out with somebody who's not afraid of people like we are.
Yeah, he's great. But there was some like very cute kids there.
Oh boy, yeah. Did you see Bryn's friend who is dressed as the Nightmare Before Christmas, Catherine O'Hara character, the Stitch Together?
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Whoa, I'm so angry I can't think of the character name right now.
Oh, so yeah. So she walks up as like the zombie girl from Nightmare Before Christmas, and she was like this little girl who's like 5, who's Bryn's friend, and she just stared wordlessly at him.
Right? Was that the craziest thing?
Well, it was just so funny because normally it would just look like a shy little girl, but because she was in full face paint with stitches all over her face, it was like the creepiest thing ever. And she just walked up.
Kept being like, say hi, Bryn. He's like, hi. And she just
it took him a second to understand. He was like, oh, this is my friend and her mom. But she just stared at him.
Sally. The character's name is Sally.
Yeah. Ugh, anyway, it was really funny to watch, actually.
I know. So
that little girl is us in social situations. We're like, hi. The funny thing is our friend
dropped her phone.
I dropped my phone. Our friend who is there, who's better than us at talking to people, was like, he'd be like, oh, hey, Joe, this is so-and-so. And then it really highlighted, like, when we would run into someone we know that he doesn't know, we would say nothing because we were like, this is the parent of this kid named Jim, but I don't know the parent's name. You know what I mean? Like, we're just really bad at being social.
Well, no, I'm bad in a different way because we ran into the parent and I do know what her name is. Oh. I just didn't think to introduce anyone.
Okay. Well, I did, but I was like, I have no idea what this person's name is. So I will ask her. I feel like now the next time I see her, I will feel like I have finally interacted with her and be like, okay, I need to get her phone number so that our kids can.
Oh, we have her phone number. It's on our fridge.
Oh, well, I'll get her phone number.
They're in class together.
Okay, well, I'll text her in a really non-creepy way.
Hi, this is normal. Play date, please. This is Beth. Ha ha ha. Smiley.
Okay.
Oops, sorry. Last text. I forgot to ask question.
This is reminding me, another mom a text about something.
What?
No, it's not interesting. Never mind.
Oh my God, you're going to another mom text about something?
So that was our weekend.
Oh, well, you're not going to tell us? I know it's not interesting, but now that's all we want to know. Give us the 10-word version.
No, it's not at all interesting, and I really would like to move on instead of continue to dig a boring hole into the episode.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to end the segment, and then during the break, Beth is going to tell me what it is, and then...
And he's going to be incredibly bored, and...
I'll come back, and I'll tell you what it was like to hear it, but we're not going to tell you. We'll be right back. And now it's time for We Knows What They're Watching. But before we do that, I just want to say, Beth told me what the thing was. And, oh my God, it was really boring. It's really good we didn't talk about it. I did you a favor by listening to it. You're welcome. Beth, do you know what they've been watching?
So I want to talk about how, so I had, this was my little parenting improv of the week, I guess. The kid, so ooh. Bryn, the kids need to take a bath last night. It was Sunday night. You know, they're gross. And Bryn obviously doesn't want to. And then there was kind of like an hour left until bed, so he wanted to watch TV. And that was how I bribed him into the bathtub. I was like, you can watch a little bit of TV. But then he got it in his head that he wanted to watch a movie and do a movie night, even though, again, it's like only an hour left. And then he was like taking his time in the bath. So I thought, maybe he'll forget about the TV thing. But then he definitely didn't. So then I had a brilliant idea, which is that I remembered that the Charlie Brown Peanuts movies are only like a half hour or something. Perfect. And we had been talking about watching a Halloween movie. So I downloaded whatever the dumb Charlie Brown Halloween movie is called. It's like The Great Pumpkin something or other.
Oh, it's not dumb.
Whatever. I'm not familiar with that one from my youth compared with the Christmas one.
I don't know why
I'm
defending it. Neither am I.
But clearly you're obsessed with it.
I've never seen the whole movie. The Great Pumpkin. I just know Linus is like, everyone's like, you're an idiot, Linus. There's no Great Pumpkin.
I got scared when I downloaded it because the track, like if I pause it on an iTunes, it looked like there was a full hour movie.
Dangerous.
But then luckily when it got to the half an hour point, it started wrapping up and going to credits, and I realized it was like two movies in one.
Perfect.
And I was able to pause it before anyone realized what was happening.
And they were none the wiser.
Most of our parenting is just tricks, you know?
Yeah.
Just the mind games.
If we have any advice, it's lies and tricks and bribes.
I think it's a lot like customer service in a way where it's like, sir, I'm going to treat you to my finest tap water. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
oh, yeah. I mean, it's straight.
Come
that.
Right this way, and here we have your full length feature film, The Great
or
Pumpkin.
It's the, we got to get dressed. All right. I'm timing you. Who's going to win? It's a race. And they're like, oh, I'm going to get dressed. And they get dressed. And then, of course, it's a screaming match. Then it's like, I was dressed first. You started earlier. And I'm like, well, at least they're dressed. But yeah. Now they're screaming at each other. Bryn has gone. He's giving me back to me where he's.
Yeah, he's using a lot of the tricks. He's like,
how about this as a deal? I'm like, you don't negotiate.
Right. He's
I'm
like,
in charge.
I've got an idea. I'll let you be my parent if you let me do whatever I want right now.
If you don't let me draw on the pumpkin, we're never doing movie night again. He said that to me tonight. And I said, okay.
Yeah. Goes, I like to call his bluff and be like, oh, okay.
I go, already. He goes, okay. I'm counting to three. One, two, three. And I go, well, I'm going to miss movie night. But I realize playing along plays into it. So I'm just like, no, I'm the daddy. I'm in charge.
I'm the daddy.
You don't get a say. Like, I'm trying to shut it down because at first it was really funny.
I love I'm the daddy. I'm the daddy, the Peter McNerney story.
You're not the daddy. I'm the daddy. I count to three.
I waited 30 years to be the daddy. Now I'm the daddy.
Now I have the power, and you must do what I say.
It's movie night. Let me tell you about Marvel.
Tonight's theme.
Anyway.
I love movie night. You love movie... You know, he's really into movie night, and you get to pick what he wants. Anyway, we had a movie night. Whenever it last was. A real one, because the real movie night happens every other Wednesday, and it's the only time they can watch TV on a school day.
And then every other week, you make some weird exception to the rule and do movie night anyway.
There's been weird holidays, and so the week is off, and so I've been making exceptions, so Bryn's trying to negotiate, and it's hardened my resolve to keep movie week every other Wednesday.
The completely arbitrary rule that you came up with that we must abide by.
I gotta say, by making it every other week and special and routine, it has truly made it special.
I do like that it's self-contained. Like, It's like you get exactly this amount of time. You're allowed to eat dinner in front of the TV, but you're not switching channel, you know.
I'm going to pick three options and then you pick one of them.
I mean, the three options part, again, is like a little bit of like the...
I love it.
Self-aggrandizing Peter McNerney.
No,
flair
well, here's why
of
it's
the
great.
Evening.
Here's why it's great. There's no arguing. You know, it's like when I was younger, we go to Peter Serdell's house, and he had Terminator 2, he had Forrest Gump, and he had Jurassic Park or whatever. And you're like, which one are we going to watch? And it's like, well, Jurassic Park, there's three of them. Whereas now you have 10 million choices, and it's too overwhelming.
When I was growing up, top three movies were like, okay, so Disney aside, like Aladdin and all that, top three movies was like Wayne's World, oh, yeah. Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh, yeah.
And Now and Then.
Oh, no, that's where we diverge.
We also watched a ton of Three Ninjas. Did you ever
Three
see
Three Ninjas was big.
Three Ninjas
for a little while.
It was great. It was just filled with like potty humor and boys being boys.
I tell you what, does not hold up. But it is.
Did you rewatch Three Ninjas?
At some point, I think I saw it again when I was like 20. I did like just a bit of it on TV. It was really disappointing. It's Home Alone, but with ninjas.
I mean, I don't really remember the plot, but I do remember it was three brothers, one of whom was named Rocky, the other was named Tum Tum. And Tum Tum was the youngest, who was always like sneaking some candy or something.
Yeah.
And then there was like, I think the oldest brother, who was like supposed to be like the wise, serious one, who I don't remember his deal.
It's exactly the dynamic of the Hanson brothers.
Exactly the dynamic.
Yeah, the middle one's a cute one.
Name them.
Taylor. Ron.
Zach. Squirky. Taylor. I wouldn't have remembered Taylor. I'm impressed that you do.
One of my best friends in the whole world is a humongous Hanson fan. Like a career-spanning Hanson fan.
Their whole career? All of it?
Like if you go, yeah, oh, Hanson, like mbop, and then she's like... There's so much more. And to her credit, they're more than Mbop, but I've never found my way past that into becoming a Hanson fan.
But you're always listening to it.
She has gotten me to respect Hanson more than most people these days do.
Okay.
But Taylor.
People these days who don't get it.
Mbop, bop, bop, doo-dop, dibby-dop, bop, doo-dop, bop. Yeah. Any song sounds like
all right, you sold us with that voice. All right, we're on board.
Yeah. Do you remember when that song came out?
Don't stop.
You got to admit, that song is catchy.
You got it.
That song is right up there with, oh, tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
But it's got nothing on Chumbawamba.
Oh, Chumbawamba. That Spice Girls song and Mbop really feel like they belong in the same toy box. You know what I mean?
The toy box of our lives?
Yeah, the toy box of 1996? Hey Siri, what
no,
year did
stop
Mbop
it.
Come
Do
out?
Not. Do not make this more boring.
Which one?
Oh, it said it thought I said what year did Rambo come out? So I said which one?
Can I just tell you, if I ever die and you re-enter the dating world, do not talk to Siri at any point in front of anyone.
This is the greatest gift you've ever seen. Do not talk to Siri in front of anyone. Not like on a date, just anyone ever.
Like when someone, even if someone was like your guy friend and he saw you do that, and then his friend was like, yeah, I don't know. Do you have anyone you could set me up with? I'm just looking for a nice guy. And he's going through his mental Rolodex, and then he pictures you doing that, and he's like, they're not going to hit it off.
Hey, Siri, when did Mbop by Hanson come out?
Mbop by Hanson came out on April 15th, 1997.
Wow. It even spelled Mbop with three capital M's correctly.
It.
It. I'm sorry, Siri. It's not a person. It's an algorithm. It's a program.
Anyway, lucky for you, you're more likely to die before I do.
Yeah, boy! We watched a movie. Anyway, our movie night, we watched Toy Story 4. Toy boat. I taught my kids toy boat the other day. And Maven, realizing she couldn't say it, burst into laughter like it was the greatest magic trick of all time. She's like, toy boy.
She's been saying some funny things lately.
She's so funny right now.
She's trying to think of the word for Velcro the other day. And she was like, can you do the scarecrow? and I was like, what do you mean? She was like, oh, I mean the scarecrow. She literally said that. She's like, she's always doing stuff like that where she just like, she makes up like a really weird word.
No, yeah. Bryn was talking about Star Wars and Maven goes, Star Blores? I was like, yep, Star Blores.
Yeah, she's great.
We watched Toy Story 4. It's a great movie. There's a little part that dragged, but it was very good. And Bryn and Maven love this movie. It's the first movie they've seen in a long time where the next day they're like, can we watch this movie again? Like when I was growing up, my little brother and I would just want to watch the same movies over and over and over. And I think that's true for a lot of kids, but not our kids. Anyway, they love Forky.
Forky was funny. I know this movie mostly because I saw them watching a little bit of the other night, but also I was on an airplane last week. And I was kind of watching it over someone's shoulder on their TV, like, screen, which I think, to its credit, you know, it's like one of those Disney movies that's very visual. It's, like, good animation. Pixar. And so you kind of know exactly what's happening without hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is, like, good storytelling. It was like...
Oh, that, I mean, the Toy Story movies are incredible storytelling.
Yeah.
But Forky is an art project, and he... suddenly gets brought home and he's suddenly alive, but he doesn't know, he understands that he's a toy, and so he keeps seeing the trash and he wants to throw himself away because he comes from the trash. And Bryn and Maven love this joke.
It's really a great metaphor for toddlers. Like,
they think, like, they're trash?
No, they're just like running into the street. Like, they don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But you're like, Maven, hey, people care about you, you idiot.
Maven,
you dumb
Maven
idiot.
Loves going, no, Forky, no, Forky. You're not trash. You're a toy. But at the end of that movie, they see a girl who is lost. I'm not going to give it away. It's not important. But it's very emotional.
I saw this part.
And Maven burst into tears and just ran over to me and needed a giant hug.
It's so sad to see a sad child.
Scary. I mean, it's fine. I mean, Toy Story 3, they, like, accept death as they're going down that chute. That's heavy. To me, that's a much heavier movie. But it was emotional. I was like, yes, this is what movie night is all about.
What I do like about movie night is it does force us to dig into these movies that Bryn doesn't normally watch. And so it is, like, these Disney movies that have, like, a real emotional core to them.
Yeah.
And, like, Bryn likes that. Like, it's nice to see that he feels things.
Yes.
When watching a movie.
I talked about this with him tonight. I don't know how he brought up something about him.
He was like, sometimes I feel things.
Yeah, we just finished Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I've been reading it to them. And he said something about essentially having an emotional reaction to something. And I was like, yeah, Bryn, that's why I like movie night. That's why movies are great, because you can get into it and care about people, and then you can feel things. It makes you, we were reading a book, and at the end of which, Gerald and Piggy, they go, this book makes me feel big things. And he goes, what does that mean? And so that started the conversation about getting into a story and feeling emotions. I was like when you saw Toy Story 4, right? You felt sad and happy and scared. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, you don't feel that when you watch those YouTube videos, do you? He's like, no. Like, that's why Daddy hates those videos. And he rolled his eyes at me.
You're like, there's no feeling to it.
There's no story. It's just a purple dinosaur.
You're like,
next to a...
I didn't go to acting school for 4 years.
So you could watch Blippi.
Have we talked about Blippi?
Yeah, 100 times.
But have we talked about the larger context that there's an article about Blippi about how before
he shit on his friend in the video?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the clickbait guy. He's been trying to find ways to get people to click on to go viral, there's and he did it with Blippi.
Okay, so there's new news about Blippi, which is that.
What?
So Blippi is like, you know,
horseshit.
He's probably a bajillionaire because his YouTube channel has so many follows or whatever, and he does appearances.
What?
And he can make a. He I'm makes. So I'm sure angry. He makes like a bajillion dollars
I'm
to be Blippi.
So angry.
I know. Well. I don't know. Anyway,
he's clickbait.
He's doing his thing. He's making his money. So Blippi, they announced a tour of a Blippi show, like a live show. So obviously parents are like, well, this sounds like hell on earth, but I'm going to do this for my kid. And
you know what? We don't judge parents here, but you're a bad parent if you took your kid to Blippi.
No, so the, but
that's
here's,
where I draw
no,
the
here's what happened. There was a thing where a bunch of parents got mad because in the very fine print, they said that Blippi would be played by an actor, not the real Blippi. So Blippi wasn't even doing his own appearances.
He's garbage. They're doing you a favor.
This is what I think is funny is like your kid doesn't know. You're probably lucky that you're getting this person who's like a committed performer.
Yeah, who has a personality.
The real Blippi who's probably some burnout.
Who didn't shit on his friend in a video.
Well, but parents were like...
Why, when I say that, that's a real thing that happened. That's not a joke.
But parents were like angry because they spent a ton of money on these tickets. It's like, this is like a high dollar ticket value. Like
that's
these like
so
VIP
tickets.
That's
so embarrassing for you parents that bought
well,
those tickets.
Well, I commented on an article that someone posted because this went to court or something. And I said, I find everyone involved guilty of Blippi. because it's not... No,
listen.
You got yourself tangled up in this Blippi web. We all know we're too much a part of it.
So I put a child a password lock on Amazon Prime because Amazon Prime is as bad. I deleted YouTube, and Amazon Prime is almost as bad with that like mindless just
which our
stuff.
Son admitted gave him nightmares.
Yeah, and so the other day I come into the room and Bryn. This is the weekend. He can watch TV. He picks up the remote and he opens Amazon Prime and just plugs in the password, 5 digits. And I go, how did you know how to do that? He goes, I saw mommy do it.
I don't even understand because our password has like 3 digits that are the same number that you just hit it 3 times fast. I don't know how he observed that.
And because there's a keypad, you know, on the screen.
I don't know. It's just... It's crazy.
Child safety, there's no way. He's going to figure it all out. He already has.
Our children are too smart
for us. Listen, I just want to take a second because I know that there are parents listening who let their kids watch Blippi. And you probably feel pretty judged right now.
No, we've let our kids watch Blippi.
Yeah. And I just want to say, you're a great parent, but end the Blippi now. It's
end the Blippi.
Stop the Blippi. It's not harmless.
Well, it's the larger.
It's harmful. I'm sorry. I'm irrationally upset about Blippi.
I mean, if we're gonna boycott Blippi, we might as well get off of Amazon, which is a horrible corporation. But we haven't done that.
I've deleted the app a bunch of times, and
no, we still are Amazon Prime members. Like we still give them money.
It's real useful, though. But I'm all about deleting Amazon Prime.
You're all about it.
Yeah, there's some good shows on there, but I don't want Bryn watching that crap.
I think the hard thing is, like, okay, we work in the entertainment industry. If you suddenly had an offer tomorrow that was like, hey, do you want to be a star of Amazon Prime's newest series? You'd be like, yeah, I want to be an actor.
That's
on TV.
Fine. They have real shows. That's not the point. Is like they
no,
just...
but like our subscription to try to see those shows feeds into their larger like.
Oh, yes, of course, because I want to feed you.
Yeah, it's so selfless.
No, this is all a selfish thing. I'm not trying to solve Amazon. I just want brainwashing.
I'm just saying we're
content.
All complicit in Amazon. We're all complicit in Blippi. I want to admit that and be honest.
I still Amazon. I bought a Cubs hat from some random crappy vendor. This is a major issue besides all of Amazon.
You need to be
issues.
Careful which vendors.
I didn't check, and it. I ordered it July 20th, and they won't let me get a refund, and it's a nightmare. And
well, I think this is. Maybe we need to admit to ourselves that like free shipping is not worth dealing with a company that's not giving their workers a living wage or whatever the hell they're doing.
You know what? I'm even more selfish. That I'm just upset about the hat. Anyway, this anyway. Has been Who Knows What They're Watching.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals.
It's been a while since we've done this or come up with one and not, that wasn't a listener's. We're real light on emails this week. So I have one. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Now, this is sort of dark now that I'm thinking a bit.
What?
No, I'm going to say it confidently. Okay, so you are going to fall into a Groundhog Day situation where you're going to relive the same day over and over and over and over. But you have a unique twist to it, which is movie night rules is that you're being presented with 3 days from your life that you get to pick from.
Movie night rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're going to present me with
the options. 3 days that you have to pick to live over and over and over and over okay. again.
And we're using movie night rules.
Yeah, so here. You okay. just means that I'm giving you the three
I know,
and you have
I
to get, pick
get
one.
It. Okay, so.
The genre is.
The genre? Oh, because you love to have a genre.
The theme is. I guess super intense days.
Super intense days.
All right,
oh,
so
God.
The days are the day Bryn was born.
Okay.
Well, he was born at 4:30 in the morning.
So I have to live it from 12 a.m.?
Yeah, so the day starts with you being like, give me the epidural. And we're like, it's too late.
It starts with me being like, cut him out of me.
Let this end any way possible. And me saying, I think not. Anyway, that one.
Okay.
The day Maven was born, when she was born in the Honda Fit, as we all know.
Okay.
At
well,
7:30 in the morning.
Chosen now two of the most painful days of my entire life. So I'm hoping this third is
the day
little...
you got your thyroid removed.
I would 100% choose the day I got my thyroid removed. I was put under. I actually, why would I choose being, I mean, meeting my kids was great, but everything leading up to it is like not worth reliving the moment of meeting them. I'm sorry.
Ooh, but Bryn, it's like, oh boy, it's only only 4.5 hours of labor.
So much of the joy of meeting my children was just relief that I was no longer having contractions. Like I was like, oh, you're so great and not a contraction.
You're
I love you.
You are such a not a contraction. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have thought of a worse third day.
There's nothing worse.
Okay, so can I... This is... I want to come back to this in a second, but this week I went to a friend's show... which was great show, and it was great to be out at all. I put the kids to bed, and I drove to the city to see the show. And I was rushing there, and I got there, and I went up an elevator, and I turned the corner. I bought my ticket, went up these little stairs, and in this little vestibule between the box office and the actual theater, I suddenly realized where I was, which is I was in the spot where I first met you. And I had not been there since that moment. And it was very emotional. And then I went into this theater and I realized the first time I ever saw you was on this stage. And so I was like in the same audience where I first saw you on stage, and it was at a time when I was single. So I was like, every eligible lady around me, I was like, maybe this one will like me. And I remember,
Is this the one?
And you were on stage with a bunch of very funny women, and you were the one. And I was like, I was like, I like that one. And then I met you outside, and you said you don't really remember.
I vaguely remember meeting you. I don't remember much about the location of meeting you. I remember kind of vaguely watching you on stage, and I remember being on the stage. But us meeting after the show, I don't like specifically recall the surroundings.
I think you'd recognize it, but it wasn't much of a meeting.
Well,
I just remember
it wasn't much of a meeting. Also, like, I was meeting you in the context of my friend being like, here's the guy I have a crush on. The friend who I was very soon about to betray. That's like, the context I was like, okay, cool. He seems fine, I guess. Like, I was
Oh my God. So I had been talked up.
You had been talked up, and I was like, this is it. Okay.
The guy.
All right.
Okay.
If that's your thing.
To each her own, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, I guess he'll make someone a happy wife someday. I don't know.
But all I know is definitely not me.
Here's what I do remember, I think, about meeting you, because this was like your signature look at that time, is that you were wearing a sort of maroonish red dress shirt and a black tie in the style of a waiter. That was usually how you rolled up.
That was how we dressed for improv shows in college.
Yeah.
I was like still fresh out of college.
Yeah, so you're like...
And also my old college group was performing, so we had our ties on.
Yeah, so you're like, would you like smoking or non-smoking?
Do you want smoking or non-smoking hot future husband? Non-smoking? Okay, right this way. It is something I did not think about. The fact, the context that you met me as set up as somebody else's crush.
Yeah, I was like, well, good for you.
All right, good luck with this weird waiter.
Yeah. I was like, I guess in a certain light, I could see why someone might.
He's good. You know, if you're into that sort of thing.
But joke's on me, folks.
Well, see, that's why you don't remember it, because I was in the room talking to everybody else, but I had you in mind. Because I was like, who is that hot non-waiter?
You were like, who is that enchanting creature who lights up the stage?
Who is not...
With her flared jeans.
Who's not quite old enough to buy alcohol legally.
She seems to be asking other people to buy her drinks, if one observes carefully.
But she's cool and collected and scary because she's not saying any words. I'll ask her out on a date in which I will say all the words I know and she'll say 12.
She's sort of like a Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ah, yes. And I'm the boogeyman.
You are the Jack Skellington.
Ah.
You're like, Christmas!
What is this? Let me explain Christmas to you.
Let me mansplain Christmas.
You were just born.
Literally our entire dynamic at that moment in history.
I'd love to be Jack Skellington. an overly confident, naive, skinny ghoul skeleton. What am I talking about? I don't know. Anyway, so you choose thyroid day to live over and over and over.
Thyroid day is like less anxiety and buildup for whatever reason.
Less painful and predictable and scheduled.
The thing about anxiety is it's not weighted appropriately to events. So I can be incredibly...
It's not rational.
I can be very anxious about like having to get up on a stage and do something, whereas if I'm going to be cut open, it's sort of like, well, I have no control over this. I'll just go
Nothing
in there.
To be done.
Yeah. I think also when I had thyroid surgery, it was like I had practically two toddlers. Maven was like, she was like 13 months old, maybe?
Something like that. Idea.
She was like about a year old, I think, because it was like May. It was like the end of May. So
yeah.
Between my thyroid and having two tiny children, I was just sort of at peak exhaustion where the idea of going in for surgery is like a vacation. Like it very literally was like, oh, people have to take care of me now.
You're getting pampered.
Yeah, it's like this is like a spa, you know?
You had my full attention.
Not quite, but
75%.
Yeah.
That was, we've talked about before. That was a rough time.
Yeah, I mean, there's just the thyroid condition on top of everything else with the exhaustion of having two small children just is, it's like, it's all a fog to me now. Like,
yeah, well, it's also was a nice, like, oh, there's a solution to this thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God it's not just me that has been walking through the world like a zombie.
Like Sally.
Like a Sally.
A real Sally over here. I'm Peter, the pumpkin eater.
Oh, God.
That was my favorite bad joke.
You're
of
like
the night.
The Blippi of Halloween movies.
You take it back. You take that back, or we are divorced.
I did not go to 4 years.
I didn't go to 4 years of a liberal arts BA theater. I didn't get a degree in communications that does not specify that it was for theater so that you could call me a blippy. I love you. And I'm glad we got through those 3 days and we'll
I'm glad
never repeat
you
again.
Spotted me on that dingy stage. Mm. So many years ago.
Mm.
13 years ago?
13 years ago.
13 years ago.
13 and a half.
Mm. So many More years. It almost makes you want to leave Halloween Town.
What other towns are out there? I left and I found you. You're my own personal holiday. This has been another episode of
This has been a spooky episode of We Know's Parenting.
If you would like to send us emails so we don't have to make up our own segments.
Don't tell them that. They loved this.
This was a slam dunk.
Send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you could leave us a voicemail, which we love.
We love it.
At 347-384-7396.
Rate! Review! Subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout us out in your local newspaper.
Yes.
Tweet about us.
Oh, my God.
Sing about us.
And we'll see you next time. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, We Knows Pod. Bye.
Bye.